Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 105, and Day 1 of the draft is behind us. And really, maybe the most important day for the Steelers is today. We'll have Rounds 2 and 3. The Steelers will have one pick in Round 2 and a pick in Round 3 and then a compensatory pick at the end of Round 3. So three picks coming up tonight. As usual, we will have full coverage on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio. You can hear us on the iHeartRadio app. Starting at 7, I'll be taking over the coverage at 9 o'clock. Dave, TJ Watt's the newest Steeler. What are your feelings?
You know me. Give me seven edges in this draft. No, I mean, well, obviously that's not going to happen. But, you know, went into this thing knowing the Steelers were going to address edge in the first couple of rounds, and T.J. Watt still on the board there at 30th overall. I had when putting together my final mock draft, I think I named these off the other day, six players that I had narrowed down to me wanting to select. You know, T.J. Watt was on that list. I mocked him to the Steelers in version 3 and then outthought myself thinking that maybe T.J. Watt, there was a lot of rumblings that T.J. Watt was going to be a fit for the Packers, who picked just ahead of the Steelers. And that obviously wound up, Packers ended up dealing that pick. So worked out perfect for the Steelers in that situation. It was easy to kind of connect the dots as T.J. Watt potentially being a target for the Steelers. Kevin Colbert went up to that pro day several weeks ago. Watt had the production, clean character, obviously. Even though a one-year starter, you didn't seem like that was going to be a huge. If you wanted to exclude T.J. Watt as being a potential target for any reason, when it came to the Steelers, it would be because he only had 1 year production as a starter, in addition to some previous knee injuries. And, you obviously assumed that the Steelers were going to check out those past knee injuries. A lot of that stuff was taken care of, I'm sure, at the combine. And, for what he did as a one-year starter, David, after moving over from tight end, really was impressive. And Kevin Colbert recapped that during his press conference. This is a guy. Look, if you were to draw out what you would like in an outside linebacker in a 3-4 to look like measurable wise, T.J. Watt, probably about what you're going to look for. 6'4.5", 252 pounds. Nice long arms, David. 33 1/8", 11-inch hands. What do you think about that? 11-inch hands. Obviously put up great numbers at the combine. He's one of those guys that you would consider a force player in today's terminology. Spark numbers through the roof. And not much not to like about this pick.
Yeah, we talked a lot about kind of what we were thinking going into the draft, and I'll just come back to since the day the season ended, what are the Steelers' needs? And we've hammered it, edge rusher, corner. I mean, it's just been, it has been what I've been pounding the table on, you've been pounding the table on all along. And hopefully that's why people listen to the podcast, is we're pointing them in the right direction. And it doesn't mean they couldn't have gone somewhere else. Who knows exactly if things had fallen differently. But I was just, shocked as we get down to the last day. So many people had the Steelers taking a safety, but even more so tight ends and wide receivers. Now, we'll never know because the top three wide receivers and the top three tight ends were off the board. So, you know, that's a put. If they were there, I can't tell you for with certainty that the Steelers wouldn't have done that. But I felt pretty comfortable that these are the needs. And I'll be really surprised today if the first pick off the board for the Steelers is not a defensive back. I mean, I'll be surprised, and even more so a corner. I mean, whether it's Fabian Moreau or, you know, if Kevin King were to slide or whoever it may be. I think it'll go that way. In terms of the kind of projecting what it would be, look, I put four guys up on my list yesterday. Really did the list on Tuesday, but put it up on Twitter so that people could see it. And I felt like Tack McKinley, said if he was on the board, he'd be the pick. I had a 25% chance that he'd be there. Marlon Humphrey was my second guy with a 50% chance he would be there. He went first of the four guys I had. It's a little bit of a surprise, but we'll get a chance to evaluate him. He went to the Ravens. And then Tre'Davious White was kind of the third guy for me, 60% chance he would be on the board. He wasn't, as he went off just a couple picks before the Steelers. And then I had T.J. Watt as a 75% chance that he'd be on the board. And, you know, fortunately for the Steelers, he was there. So a couple of the interesting things, I know people got really excited for the Steelers because a lot of offensive players went in the top 10 picks. But, you know, really this draft played out in the first round. It played out just as expected with 19 defensive players going and 13 offensive players, three quarterbacks, three wide receivers, three tight ends, and a couple offensive linemen, three quarterbacks, three wide receivers, three tight ends, two running backs. Make sure I get what's that 9-11 and then two offensive linemen the thing that was different is the sequencing was different. So if it would be great if you were drafting six where the Jets were and Jamal Adams falls, or if you're drafting 11 where the Saints were and Hooker falls, or even you know the offensive player who dropped obviously the most was OJ Howard as the Alabama guys dropped a bit, but really the 29 picks in front of the Steelers were largely the 29 picks that were expected. I mean, there was no off-the-wall pick. Adoree Jackson was certainly a guy who went higher than people thought. But, you know, the guys we thought would be around were around at 25 or 22. And then it was just a question of how those 10 picks were going to go. And a lot of trades in front of the Steelers. Guys wanted to get their guy. Some of that probably impacted the Steelers. Some of it didn't. But, Dave, I really thought it was a very exciting, entertaining, unpredictable round. But at the end of the day, the same 32 guys went roughly.
Yeah, and you look at the guys that kind of went right ahead, you know, those 10 picks or so that went right ahead of the Steelers taking T.J. Watt. And a lot of these guys, the Steelers showed interest in during the pre-draft process. You know, David Njoku, the tight end out of Miami, the Steelers were at that Miami Pro Day. Taco Charlton, who went to the Cowboys, the Steelers were at the Michigan Pro Day. Tre'Davious White, the Steelers were at the LSU Pro Day. And by being at the Pro Day, I'm talking about Kevin Colbert was at that, you know, Pro Day. Now, Takaris McKinley, who went to the Falcons at 26 overall, Colbert did not go to that pro day, but McKinley wasn't able to do anything because of rehab from the shoulder. Jabril Peppers, who went 25th overall to the Browns, you know, once again another Michigan guy, you know, that the Steelers were at that pro day. So there you go. So it'd be interesting. We'll never know how that board was stacked and if they would have taken any of those five or six guys there, you know, had they been available. But, you know, I keep going back, David, and every year Art Rooney II tells us what the pick's going to be. You know, you go back to after the season ended in that post, the postseason initial talk with the media. Here's what Art Rooney II said this year. I think certainly there were things in that New England game that you could probably also say about other games where we didn't quite get where we wanted to be. I think getting pressure on the quarterback more consistently is something that we strive to do. While I thought we made some improvements over the course of the season, we weren't always where we would want to be. That's a piece of the puzzle that I think we can identify and we want to improve on. So there you go. It was edge rusher all the way.
Yeah, right. So we spilled a lot of ink and wasted a lot of hours talking about it. But look, we said it was edge rusher all the way, so we got it right. So I'm not going to apologize for anything we talked about because I've been adamant about it from day one. And that the two positions they need are the two positions they need, and I'm still not convinced that the hybrid safety is the way the Steelers are going to go. Now, if Buda Baker slides, is he a guy? Maybe. But I'm still thinking that, the Steelers are not looking for a slot quarter as much as they're looking for an outside, a guy who can play on the outside. But we'll see. We can be wrong about that, and we've got plenty of time here to get into it. J.J. Watt will be introduced at a press conference today at the Steeler facility at 5 o'clock. I don't know whether we'll be carrying that live on my show or not. We'll just kind of have to – we'll wait and see a little bit on that. So, Dave, one of the things is I had a chance to talk to Kevin Colbert last night, and this was I'm sure a lot of people heard him on the press conference, and we had him exclusively on SNR and ESPN Radio. T.J. Watt's going to be introduced today at 5 o'clock. I don't know if we'll have that, but I wanted to ask Kevin specifically, I said to him, does the choice of T.J. Watt preclude or make it less likely? Not likely, you won't do it, but less likely that you will take an edge today. And he said no, and he pointed immediately to the draft with Lawrence Timmons and Lamar Woodley, and said, we didn't know, what Lawrence was going to be when he came here. He played outside originally. So it does not mean that we won't go there again. So, well, I think it does make it less likely. If Derek Rivers is sitting there and they're in love with Derek Rivers and had a, first round grade on him or whatever kind of grade on him, and Fabian Moreau's gone and all the other corners that they like are gone, I'm not going to bet on it, but he, that was his response. Is he didn't say, well, we're kind of looking other places now. We filled a need. He said, it still could be the guy.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I'm saying you're still in it for seven edge rushers and a tight end.
Don't tease me like that. Seven edges and George Kittle, right? We know that's not going to happen, but I think I'd still be surprised, though, David, if they did turn around here. But best player on the board. Kevin kind of laid it out before the draft anyway. If you have two players graded and one significantly graded higher than the other, well, you're probably going to go with that player. Now, if you have two players graded, kind of close, and one is a more of a position of need than the other, well, you're going to go with the need. And, at this point in the stage of the draft, rounds two and round three, you would think that a lot of the players that are going to fall into the realm of where the Steelers are going to be picking are going to be graded pretty similarly. And if that's the case, well, then you're probably going to go defensive back. Who knows, inside linebacker too. The kid Cunningham out of Vanderbilt is still on the board. The Steelers brought him in for a pre-draft visit.
Zach Cunningham, right?
Yeah, Zach Cunningham and the kid out of Ohio State, who the Steelers have been linked to, the inside linebacker there. But as a whole, the Steelers didn't bring in a lot of inside linebackers, but I think they're looking at that spot of players who could potentially fall to them in that round. And once again, setting up your kind of, all right, this is how how we're ranking the board. And if X player's gone, we're going to take Y player there. But as a whole, I kind of expect them to either go defensive back or quite possibly maybe a wide receiver if one of those, Chris Godwin is on the board, or let's say a Zay Jones out of East Carolina is on the board there. So don't get my hopes up like that. I certainly wouldn't take issue with a guy like Derek Rivers or even Carl Lawson being a second round pick, but I'm not going to place any bets on it either.
Well, let me ask you. So let's throw this out there a little bit before we get in. We can only talk so much about T.J. Watt. If you get to pick, and you can't pick a guy who's kind of considered a first 5 or 10 pick in this round. If you got to pick a guy for today, who's your pick?
Well, I posted a huge number of guys, you know, that I think hold on a minute, and I'll pull that up here, that I think the Steelers could be targeting on this day. And
well, I'll give you mine. Mine's Fabian Moreau, the corner from UCLA. He's got you got some health issues here, but I think he's one of the top five corners in the draft. We've seen four go off the board. Kevin King's going to go off the board before the Steelers pick. So if Moreau's there, he's my guy.
I guess I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. You know, the whole he's a guy that probably or likely would have went first round, you know, if not had to deal with the injury or whatnot. I still can't help but think that, I'm trying to pull up my list here. A guy like Josh Jones out of North Carolina State. Now, some people will say there's no way Josh Jones will fall to the Steelers, and there's a good chance that he won't. A guy like Cordrea Tankersley, long, speedy corner out of Clemson, could be on the board. Chris Wormley, an athletic. Remember we talked about
– oh, you're going to go D-line here on me.
Defensive lineman, yeah. You know, we talked the other day about, if there were two players, defensive linemen that I could potentially see the Steelers taking, maybe that's a guy. Chris Godwin out of Penn State is a guy that might just fall to the Steelers and, down in that
– I would never take Chris Godwin in the second round. Wouldn't touch him.
Just because of the position he plays?
No, there are other guys I like. I think it's a deep draft. Yeah, I mean, I think it's too. I don't want to take a receiver here in a second. I'm not a huge Godwin guy. In terms of some of the other guys that might be around, I actually would probably take Zay Jones over Godwin. But I think that's. I don't know that. I think that's value there for Godwin. I'm surprised you're throwing so many different positions out there. Is there a defensive back that you mentioned Jones, the safety from NC State. Is there a corner that you like there?
Yeah. Well, I said Tankersley,
Tankersley. Right. Okay.
Is a guy. I think, being the character flag that he has on him, Jordan Lewis, out of Michigan, I view him more as a round three guy. Tease Tabor, to me, please stay away from that with him. I mean, you're getting into this territory now where, and let's face it, how many corners are going to come off the board before the Steelers pick in the second round?
Yeah. So what did we have? We had four go in the first. Is that right? Five go. Connolly went as well. So you had the two SEC guys, the two Ohio State guys, and Dory Jackson, right?
Kevin King's probably going to come off the board fairly quick here, right? And Chidobe Awuzie out of Colorado. You would think those two guys.
I think King and Awuzie, I'm guessing they will not be around.
Right, and that's why I didn't include them. Now, Fabian Moreau is a second-round guy, and if your medicals are clean on him, okay, but why wouldn't you bring a guy like him in for a pre-draft visit? Being he's got the medicals, are you happy enough with what you found out at the scouting combine?
Sure. I mean, pre-draft visits are good, but I mean, T.J. Watt didn't come in. Other guys in the past. If you know what you know, you only got so many of them. So.
When you talk about corners that I think the Steelers could take in this round, I think Tankersley is a guy that will be on that could potentially be on the board. Sidney Jones, that Achilles injury scares the bejesus out of me, David. I mean, I got to be honest.
I'd take him in round three. If they don't take a corner in round two and Sidney Jones is there with whatever they would be picking, what's 90, is it 94? I would jump on that. I probably wouldn't double dip corner, but the medical, so one of the things, look, I understand medical issues, and you know, today we're a lot much more sanguine about knee injuries than we were 15 years ago because of the technology. Look, every guy is subject to risk. You know, the injuries that Senquez Golson had, those weren't injuries, you know, wasn't the injury that kept him off the field the past 2 years. Guys get hurt. These guys are young, 21 years old, they're elite athletes. You know, if a guy tears a pec muscle or tears an Achilles, it's not good, but I'm assuming these guys are going to be healthy and play football again. There are plenty of guys on the current Steelers roster who have had injuries. You know, look at how many guys have torn their pectoral muscles or their labrums or whatever on the Steelers' current roster who are good football players. So that kind of stuff, you know, if it's not a debilitating thing, I think sometimes we overplay the injury stuff because a guy might not be able to play, you know, in August or September you know, that scares people away. Give me the best football player, and if they miss a little time, like, you look, obviously we saw Artie Burns missed a lot of the preseason and then didn't start the first seven games. Who knows if he would have started right away. Maybe he starts 2 or 3 weeks earlier. But he was a Steelers starting corner, and I'm sure they're happy as heck that they have him now. So I'm less concerned about normal type injuries. Not that these aren't significant injuries, but just normal stuff.
Yeah, but with that said, I'm less afraid of a clean ACL or MCL tear than I am an Achilles with a quick twitch, you know, skill position athlete. I really, you know, one of these times we're probably gonna, during the offseason, probably gonna have to have Melanie on and you know, talk about that specific kind of injury when it comes to that. But regardless, you know, we're talking about these corners who are second round worthy. Like I said, I think Tankersley and maybe Moreau, I think that's all that's going to be on the board come time to Steelers pick. Now, third round, David, that's a different story. I really think this team likes Shaquille Griffin out of University of Central Florida. I mentioned him on the other podcast, the other day. Him and Jalen Myrick, an undersized kid out of Minnesota. When you look at Alex Cazor did a study on these and the measurables and going back in time and the kind of guys that fit certain parameters that the Steelers like. And Jalen Myrick and Shaquille Griffin are two of those guys that check, you know, those boxes per se. Now, the Steelers brought both those guys in for pre-draft visits. Shaquille Griffin fits. That's the guy. And if I was going to circle one guy in all eight selections of my mock draft that I would probably bet would wind up with the Steelers, it would be Shaquille Griffin. Now that I've said that, he'll get taken one pick ahead of where the Steelers pick. But if I were going to bet on any cornerback going to the Steelers in day two, it would be Shaquille Griffin. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, you know what? I like it, but I'm not sure he goes. I think he might be on the board later than that. So I actually had him in my group in the fourth round. We'll see. I'm with you. I had Myrick and Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones all in the third round. So, you know, I'm going to be interested because, you know, my thing is here today in this one of these two picks. I think the Steelers are going to get a running back or wide receiver, and I'm slightly partial to the running back, but I love Hollins and Galladay, both guys who took visits with the Steelers. I think they may be fourth round guys, but if they took them in the third supplemental, they're compensatory, whatever you want to call it. I'd be excited about that as well. So we'll write more about this and get this rather than just kind of throw 100 names out at you.
The thing with Shaquille Griffin, and look, Dane Brugler, I think, had him pegged as maybe a fourth-round grade on Shaquille Griffin, but you got the planet theory in effect here. 6 foot, 194 pounds, and ran a 4.38 40 at the combine, played in a true 3-4 defense at Central Florida. He was talking on the radio the other day, talking about how, you know, they played a lot of quarters, was their kind of bailout coverage there, but they, you know, played some man, some zone as well too. He played every corner spot on that defense, and he also played some safety as well too. So and I haven't even gotten to his character yet. Okay, so if there was ever a cornerback that screams pick me with that compensatory draft pick or even the other pick in the third round, it's Shaquille Griffin. And, boy, I certainly hope I finally get one right here. But that, to me...
We've only had one go off the board, man. So don't beat yourself up.
Yeah, but I only got one right last year. Javon Hargrave was the only guy. And I had him... I think I had him go to Cedars in round two.
Well, you got seven more cracks at it. So you got lots of time.
No, but just all kidding aside, I think Shaquille Griffin... really fits. Now, you talked about Galladay. I think Josh Reynolds is another kid out of Texas A&M that's more of a fourth-round guy. Running back and tight end, geez, I mean.
My two running backs here in the compensatory pick, just so we're on it, so I'm on the record, you know the guys I've liked, they're not exactly similar, but they both can do everything. Marlon Mack of South Florida and Wayne Gallman of Clemson. If they're there, compensatory pick, sign me up.
Yeah, I think I have both those guys more as, you know, slipping into fourth round guys. I think Alvin Kamara out of Tennessee and, you know, Samaje Perine out of Oklahoma. Perine really, you know, I like how he would potentially fit. And the Steelers running backs coach, of course, was at that Oklahoma Pro Day working out those Joe Mixon and Perine. So I think if you were to take a running back during day two, I think Kamara and Perine, you know, would potentially be your guys. You know, the Steelers, outside of James Conner, who was a local visit, you know, and outside of sending, the running back coach to several of these pro days, really didn't seem to pay much mind to potential maybe, you know, day two type running back. So I at this point, I'm not going to rule it out completely. I think I'll be surprised if the next time we get together and talk that we're talking about the Steelers taking a running back day two. I see more of a day three headed that direction. And really, for that matter, the tight ends too, David. I mean, you've got, what, three of them off the board right now. What are the chances Adam Shaheen and Gerard Everett out of South Alabama both go before the Steelers pick in round two? And if that's the case, I mean, is there anybody else outside of, you know, the injured Jake Butt that you would even consider in round two or round three as far as tight end goes?
No, and, you know, I'm not excited about the position. I got talked into wide receiver being a position of need, and I'm happy with that. I think that's right. I'm much more with you late round blocking tight end. I'm not going tight end here today.
As far as we talked about safeties as well, too. You got Hooker, Adams, Jabril Peppers off the board. You got to figure Buda Baker is going to come up pretty soon. But even if he doesn't, you know, how thrilled are you about a 5'9", 195-pound, you know, safety?
As I've said, I'm not the hybrid guys. The guys that – the whole idea of taking a – you know, so I wonder if some of these guys feel like they got hoodwinked on their particularly Mel and McShay. For 5 months, they've been sitting there with Myles Garrett as the number one guy, and they both switched to Trubisky on the last day. Mel Kiper wrote that Buda Baker would be a top 15 pick if he were, you know, a couple inches taller. I don't give a damn. He's not a couple inches taller, you know, so who cares what he would be? You know, there are a lot of things I would be if I could, you know, to change a couple attributes. So, you know, Buda Baker's a good football player. I just don't like the idea with Sean Davis back there. Get me a freaking corner. Get me a big man press corner. That's why I didn't want Jabril Peppers. I don't see the idea, like Prisco wrote, he gave the Browns an F for the pick because he's like, he doesn't have a position. Well, that's just saying he's not a good football player, which isn't right. Jabril Peppers is obviously a great athlete. If you can't find something to do with him, then, you know, you may have an issue there. The reason for the Steelers that I didn't like it is because Sean Davis is a similar player, and I don't see 2 years down the road when Mike Mitchell's contract's up, I don't see Jabril Peppers playing next to Sean Davis. So that's why the pick didn't you know, I didn't like that as a first round pick. It's not I don't like Jabril Peppers. I just didn't see the fit. So, you know, there are different things going on here. But for Buda Baker, you know, again, the Steelers have a guy in Senquez Golson that they're not betting on. But Senquez Golson can play outside. He's a bit undersized, but he's a ball hawking corner. And we had an interesting debate last night. You look at three corners the Steelers have taken three defensive backs, excuse me. We were having the debate before Peppers got taken, and Dale Lawley and Mike Pursuta were on opposite sides of this debate in a big way, and they were both pointing to interceptions. And Lawley was pointing to the fact that Jabril Peppers had one interception in his college career, and the comeback was like, you know, Troy had won his senior year. Earl Thomas has been a three-year all-pro safety with one interception or two interceptions in his career. And then they said, you know, Gerard Holloman Senquez Golson and Doran Grant, their senior year between them, had 29 interceptions, and they have, you know, Doran Grant sniffed the field for two plays or something like that. Pointing to one stat, anytime you point to one stat, it's a little bit tough. You can make arguments on both sides. But I'm just not looking for that guy, Dave. And more importantly, what I'm looking for, I don't think the Steelers are looking for that guy. And I know you're more or less in agreement with that. You know, as we talk about Griffin and some of the other, and Moreau and some of the other guys.
If I'm looking for a safety type, if it's me related to the Steelers, I'm looking for one early in the draft. I'm looking for one that I think can play center field.
Marcus Williams.
You know,
right? Or Josh Jones.
Josh Jones spent a lot of time in the box, if memory serves me, but he can play, you know, with that speed, 4-4-1, he can play deep safety spot, you know.
Williams is the epitome of a center fielder.
How much attention we'll see. You know, look, this is another – when you talk about safeties that are likely to come off the board in round two, you have to think Marcus Williams is going to be one of them, potentially Buda Baker. Obi Bellafonwu is another one that you figure is going to come off the board here pretty soon. Now the two kids out of Florida, David, are interesting – guys that could potentially maybe be round three targets for the Steelers, talking about Marcus May and Quincy Wilson. Now, Quincy Wilson was a cornerback at Florida, but, you know, a lot of people think that you know, his style of play and his measurables and all, he's going to have to make a move to safety. Now, do you want to take on that kind of project as a round two, round three guy? Me personally, no. So that kind of, you know, narrows it down to Marcus Marcus May out of Florida. So you know, if the Steelers do address the safety position today being Friday, I would kind of circle Marcus May as the best, you know, candidate to be that guy, because of the fact I think a guy like Marcus Williams and Josh Jones and Obi Bellafonwu might be off the board. Now, if any one of those three guys are there, I think you got to consider it then, depending on what cornerbacks, you know, are on the board as well. And especially if one of those safeties can potentially be an heir apparent to a Mike Mitchell, a guy that can play, that you plan on playing. Now, obviously, you want your safeties to be as interchangeable as possible, but give me the guy that has the most experience playing, you know, deep safety in a cover three, cover one type situation. You know, that's the guy that I want.
Yeah, I'll come back with Williams, you know, three-year starter. And I think, if I remember correctly, he's the only guy in a big conference with five or more interceptions each of the past 2 years. I mean, and he played single high. That's what he played. So, you know, he doesn't have elite speed, but obviously he has get-to-the-ball speed and very good ball skills. So I'd rather take a corner in the second round. And I'm guessing Williams isn't going to be there. So, you know, I'm with, you know, just the same way you're talking about some of the other guys, it kind of makes it moot. If the guy's not on the board, having the conversation about him means less. But they did have Josh Jones in for a visit. That's something worth noting as well, just as we hit that discussion. Dave, I just want to circle back just really quickly to the two offensive positions. We talked about tight end. I want to circle back to running back and wide receiver. I don't think there's any chance Kamara's on the board. You mentioned Perrine. Of other guys, if we're talking, you know, the supplemental pick, you know, if the couple guys that are projected a little bit higher here are off, is there anybody else that, you know, Donta Foreman, do any of those guys interest you?
I'd like, you know, like I said, several of the, you know, to me, really a Perrine or a Kamara maybe could be attractive in day two. I mean, I think we both expect Dalvin Cook to come off the board fairly soon. Curtis.
Yeah, I do think Kamara and Perrine will be off today. Well, Kamara for sure. I think he'll be up before the Steelers pick. I'm just, if we figure Cook goes today, Mixon goes today, I think Kamara for sure goes. Those would be the guys for me that are off.
Then you know, to me, the only are you thinking Curtis Samuel's going to go off the board too? I mean,
I guess, you know, he's the one guy I don't know enough about, and so I he's a burner, obviously.
Yeah, he's fast. 4.31 40 and a 1.55 10-yard split with him. He's a guy. Hey, I don't know. He might be on the board when the Steelers pick in the second round. Now, obviously, come round three, I don't think he's going to be there. I think if the Steelers address the running back position today being Friday, it would be with the compensatory pick. And like I said, I think Perrine. I don't know, maybe you throw Kareem Hunt out of Toledo into that category. I think Mack and Gallman and Foreman, those guys, I think those are kind of day three guys, but we'll see. In the end, like I said, I'll be surprised if we're talking about the Steelers drafting a running back when we're recapping what happened on day two.
Will you be surprised if we're talking about them drafting an offensive player?
No, because I think there's an outside shot with wide receiver. As far as quarterback go, I mean, how, you know, where do you slot Dobbs and Kaya right now? I mean, are you going to have to take them with the compensatory pick just so you guaranteed to get one?
I'm not taking them. I think there will be an offensive player taken, and I think it'll be a back and receiver or a receiver. It'll go in the third round. So I think we'll be talking about one 100%.
Yeah, I mean,
it won't be a quarterback.
I agree. It could be a wide receiver. I'm not so convinced it would be a running back there. And you know, to me, quarterback. You know, if you got to do it in round four. We'll see. But I think there's an outside chance. Hey, it wouldn't hurt my feelings.
A surprising amount of hedging from you here today.
In what way?
What they're going to do today.
No, I've said all along, I think wide receiver is a possibility. But if you're going to go that way, it's going to be like a Chris Godwin or a Zay Jones. I mean.
Corner second round. They're definitely taking an offensive player today, and it'll be a wide receiver or running back. So you want to make any definitive proclamations?
Yeah, defensive back will go in day two. I think a wide receiver is picked up in day two, and then potentially, geez, I mean, I think you could see a two more defensive players and potentially a wide receiver. I don't think it's hedging to say that I'll be surprised if we're talking about a running back when we're recapping the picks.
No, I don't think that's hedging. I just said, did you think they'll be taking an offensive player? I think 100% they will take an offensive player with one of the three picks today.
And I said I thought there was a chance they could take a wide receiver, so that's an offensive player.
Well, that's what I say. You say there's a chance. Well, there's a chance they could take anything. I'm looking for definitive answers.
Yeah, there's a chance they could take a wide receiver. It's high up in the probability.
Anytime you say chance, you're hedging. That's all. I'm just putting you on the record. I'm just looking for it on the record on the Terrible Podcast.
Well, we opened the show, David, talking about Chris Godwin. If there are two players that the Steelers take in day two, in my opinion, it'd be Chris Godwin and Zay Jones. I even named players.
Yeah, okay, good. So they're going to be talking, we're going to be talking about an offensive player tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay. Who won and who lost today, yesterday?
Oh, the Bears. I don't understand that at all. I don't understand that at all, what they did. Trading up. I mean, you signed Mike Glennon to the deal, even though that could be perceived as a one-year deal. Look, I mean, John Fox, if he doesn't win this year, is he gone? I mean, did he have anything to do with – how much do you think John Fox had to do with that, with those picks, you know? Or was that more of a general manager, you know, down the road? I just don't understand. I think San Francisco 49ers did good to trade down, get picks, and still get their guy. So you know, those are the biggest things, in my opinion, that stuck out. And of course, both those things happened early on in the draft.
In terms of the charts and stuff, all three teams way overpaid to move up to get their quarterbacks. Which one did you like the best? I'm with you. I think John Lynch killed it. And he got Solomon Thomas, not only that. And then he moved into the second round or into the back of the first round from the second round and got Reuben Foster. So I thought the Niners had a huge day. Everybody loved the teams that moved back. But how about the teams that moved up? Kansas City getting Pat Mahomes, and then the Texans move up and take Deshaun Watson. Let's just say from the draft chart, they overpaid. Okay, that's a given. Do you like the fits for those teams getting quarterbacks?
I guess the only thing that I like, if I am forced to pick of the teams that moved up to get a quarterback, it'd be the Chiefs. I like that decision more than anything else. Look, I mean, Alex Smith's, you know, he's the guy that can get you to the playoffs, but is probably not going to win you the Super Bowl, right? Now, can Patrick Mahomes be that guy? You're going to need some succession there fairly soon.
Yep.
Fairly soon. So I guess I could force to pick the best of the bunch. It would be Kansas City moving up to get Mahomes.
Browns. They take Myles Garrett. Then, you know, I know some people were complaining because they move back in the draft again. They keep compiling draft picks. Now they have two first-round picks next year, which is supposed to be, you know, at least hypothetically from where we sit now, a potentially a monster quarterback draft with, you know, three or four guys going on the top 10 picks with Rosen out of UCLA, Darnold out of USC, the kid from Wyoming, Jackson from Louisville. That's, you know, just four off the top of my head. So they get two first-round picks, 3 seconds next year. They get Myles Garrett, Jabril Peppers, and then they trade in front of the Steelers. You know, we've seen this a bunch of times over the past couple of years, Dave, with teams trading in the division right in front of the Steelers. We saw the Ravens do it with the tight end a few years ago. Drawing a blank on who was that kid, kid from Minnesota?
Max Williams.
Max Williams. Did the Browns have a good day?
Oh boy, hard. you get too athletic. I mean, you get arguably the top player in the draft in Myles Garrett, right? I mean, good thing they didn't mess that one up. And then you get in Njoku, you know, late in the draft. I mean, David Njoku has a ways to go to reach his ceiling, in my opinion. And you know, just because I wasn't high on Jabril Peppers, you know, we've said all along. And really, it's been a footnote with Jabril Peppers all along with most NFL analysts is if you draft Jabril Peppers, you better have a plan for him. I mean, he's definitely got the measurables there. And the Browns obviously think they have a plan for him. So it's hard not to look at what they did on day one and give him a golf clap.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, we'll see how it all plays out. I know. So, you know, I saw somebody ripping him for. I saw somebody write a write up. Somebody who I kind of respect in the national media. The write up was, first of all, they ripped the three teams that moved up to get quarterbacks, and then they ripped the Browns for not moving up to get a quarterback, and said, you know, they got three guys, but who's going to play quarterback? Well, if your guys, you know, if it's not there, it's not there. So. It is what it is. Work from the inside out and start getting guys. And it seems to me that that's what they did. You know, they signed some good offensive linemen in the offseason with Zeitler and re-signing Bonino or whatever is it, Bononio. And then, you know, they get two. If you're a spark score guy, you know, they hit a home run in terms of what they did yesterday. In the division, we see
You do need a quarterback at some point, though.
Absolutely. Well, that's it. Now, if you think that draft next year is where they're all coming with two firsts and three seconds, you know, they should be able to target their guy and find somebody. The other thing is, look, I mean, I know nobody's thinking Cody Kessler or Brock Osweiler is going to save the world, but they're going to put somebody out there who at least has played the position in the NFL, you know, whereas the Jets – I don't know what the Jets are going to. Who's the quarterback of the Jets right now? Who is it?
Who is it? Bryce Petty?
I'm forgetting.
Petty?
Is it Bryce? Yeah, they got Hackenberg and Petty, and I think they signed some. But yeah, I think there are teams that are worse off. I just think the Browns are they're pointing in the right direction. Did you like the a little bit of a surprise? You know, the three receivers go to the top nine. Now the Bengals have they got Tyler Eifert at tight end. They obviously got AJ. They get Boyd in the slot. You put John Ross on the outside. And, you know, they've got the two running backs. Now their offensive line stinks, but they've given Andy Dalton some weapons again.
Oh, well, I forgot. Josh McCown. The Jets signed Josh McCown.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm kind of a fan of Josh McCown. So, yeah, I forgot about him, too.
What was the question?
Those weapons for Andy Dalton now. You got Eifert, you got AJ and Ross on the outside, you got Tyler Boyd in the slot, and you got, you know, the two running backs. You know, at the skilled positions, they've got some talent.
Yeah, you gotta get into football, and boy, did their offensive line. You give Andy Dalton weapons now, but you take his offensive lineman away from him, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's so funny because that's, you know, they flipped it. They probably match up with anybody at those positions, just kind of naming those five guys. But yeah, now they don't have the line to block for them.
It's like
the old. Were you surprised Marlon Humphrey? The Ravens went Humphrey.
I mean, Ozzie's an Alabama guy, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what Dale said. They compared him to Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, let's not go there just quite yet. He's a physical kind of guy. Once again, how much of what he did, he didn't make a lot of plays. Okay. As far as interceptions and passes defense go. And I've got his complete video up on the site. It wasn't hard to track down all of them over the course of just 2 years. He was a 2 year starter. He's mighty young. He's still going to, he's got some ceiling left to him. The thing is, how is he going to do with you know, the speed receivers and guys that maybe can get on top of him? Is he going to be able to get his head around fast enough? You know, that's the main thing on him. He's definitely something to work with, but I'm not ready to go and say you've got themselves another Jimmy Smith here just quite yet.
Yeah, one more for you. I know some people have asked us, Reuben Foster. Did that cross your mind at all at 30? I got to say, it did. I didn't, you know, the Steelers moved pretty quickly and I was focusing on edge and corner and I wasn't really thinking about Foster. I'm not surprised they didn't take him. If they had taken him, how would you have felt about that?
Well, you know, since all this stuff has happened during the pre-draft process and then, you know, while he was free-falling yesterday, the talk about the shoulder, there's obviously the character flags. I wouldn't be surprised if the Steelers just yanked his name off the board, David, because of, you know, how many flags do you need, you know, to get off the board? Obviously, they did not have him ranked ahead of T.J. Watt, so I mean that's a given at this point. How, you know, Alabama linebackers? You know, I don't know. I mean, I'll kind of leave it at that right now. I'm not surprised, and the thought never crossed my mind. Reuben Foster's falling, goody. You know, so
yeah.
You know that didn't run through my mind. Let's kind of end with going back and talking about, you know, T.J. Watt real quick. I mean, this is a guy, you know, as we said, 1 year starter. Ferocious hand usage with those 11-inch mitts. He probably doesn't have much trouble getting into a lobster, if you will. And you see him use some counters. You'd like to see him be able to convert probably speed to power a tad bit better. But you know, the easy narrative here is he needs to get stronger. Well, who doesn't need to get stronger coming into the NFL level? But with that said, his brothers, I'm sure, have already taught him an NFL kind of workout regimen. He's still young. What is he? 22, I think. So there's going to be some development there. It still looks like he thinks a little bit too much. As far as what his plan of attack is going to be, that should be a little bit better the more he plays. Once again, we're talking about a one-year starter here. His sacks on tape, look, he beat a couple of running backs. He had a couple of inside stunts there. He's going to be great at that, I think. You want to talk about a guy that you can run some games and some twists and stunts with. Watt's going to be, I think, fantastic at that. He's a guy that you can move over around and play on his feet, you know, right, left, in the middle, walk him around, do whatever you need to do to get the matchup that he needs. I think his play against the run needs to improve. I think he gets a little bit caught up looking into that backfield a little bit too much. Once again, he did play on the feet. You know, people bitch about the craziest things after picks. You know, the first thing I kind of was forced to look at this morning was a Twitter follower said, well, don't turn on that Penn State game. And I said, why? And he sent me the play of of that Penn State running back beating Watt on the wheel route for a touchdown. I mean, of all damn plays you're going to send me, that kid runs a 4.3 40 and is probably going to be the top running back in next year's draft. And the play that got you worried the most about a game that Watt had like four tackles, a strip sack. I think I counted 2.5 pressures in that game. The play that you're most concerned about in that game was Watt being beat by a future first round running back on a wheel route. Give me a break, people. Look, we don't know what this kid might become, but if you look at the measurables, if you look at the 1 year college production, things tell you that there's a potential this guy being a double digit sack guy. And after all, isn't that what we're looking for with this pick, is a guy that can give you 10 to 15 sacks a year?
Man, if he gives Steelers double digit sacks by 2018, then the pick's probably an A. And by I did a quick write up yesterday, Dave, of all the Steelers picks, first round picks in this century. And I don't know if you get a chance to see it, but I had three guys on the whole list who had grades below B, and just there, you know, and people can quibble with probably some of the grades on a few of them. But I'm just pulling it up here real quick, and I'll just give you the rundown of the grades of the Steelers' first-round picks. I gave Plaxico Burress a B, Casey Hampton an A, Kendall Simmons a B, Troy and Ben A pluses, obviously, Heath Miller an A, Santonio Holmes an A, Lawrence Timmons an A, Rashard Mendenhall a C, Ziggy Hood a D, Pouncey an A, Hayward a B with upside possible, DeCastro an A, Jarvis Jones an F, Shazier an A, Dupree an incomplete with a B, and Burns an incomplete with an A. That's a pretty good track record for Steelers' first-round picks.
Yeah, I think it's too early. I mean, look, I'm not sure I'm ready to give Shazier an A just yet, but if it's not an A, it's a B-plus right now. I mean, 2017, if Shazier stays healthy and plays in all 16 games, I mean – He could be a Pro Bowler, right? I mean, a true Pro Bowler.
You've heard me throw around Defensive Player of the Year type of guy for Shazier. I think he's that elite an athlete. All Pro, certainly a Pro Bowler. I mean, you know, Cam Hayward hadn't been to the Pro Bowl yet. So, you know, if Hayward and Shazier can stay healthy and perform to their kind of peak capabilities, you know, you're going to have two stars on that Steelers defense along with Tuitt and the three young guys, and, you know, just start Bud taking a step forward. I mean, there's certainly a lot of potential on this defense now. It's young and fast.
You look back at you name it off all those names, and you go. I hate to put it all on measurables sometimes, but what the hell were they thinking with Jarvis Jones? You know, but I mean,
you know, it's exact. And I opened Pandora's box last night by saying, in terms of polish, what's between Dupree and Jones, and people are like, oh God, you know, you mentioned Jarvis Jones in the same sentence, and you know. Yeah, what were they thinking with Jarvis Jones?
Well, yeah,
production.
But let's go back real quick. I mean, who would you, you know, that was the 17th overall pick, right, in 2013. Who would you have taken after him? That ended up being taken in the first round. I don't think it's fair to look at the board and say, well, you know, so-and-so went in the second round. I would have taken him in the first round.
Say that 5 years later.
Right, right. Now, Tyler Eifert went a couple of picks after Jarvis Jones, you know, but if you had Eifert, how would that have affected, you know, would Heath Miller have been let go a little bit earlier, you know, kind of thing? I guess you really didn't have. Well, here's the thing about Tyler Eifert now is you'd be picking up his you would have picked up his fifth-year option last year, right? And then now you'd have to pay him. He would be due a contract extension right now if you had drafted Tyler Eifert instead of Jarvis Jones. Desmond Trufant was taken by the Falcons at 22. Geez, who else?
That obviously that would be the one to point to, right? If you saw that one.
Right. Xavier Rhodes, Minnesota.
Yep, those two guys.
Dayton Jones, Green Bay Packers, 26 overall. DeAndre Hopkins, Nuke out of Clemson, went, 27th overall. You know, I could go on and on. Travis Frederick, you know, you wouldn't need another center, hopefully. You know, he was taken out of Wisconsin then. You know, what's kind of funny is here's the way I well, I'm not going to go down a rabbit hole. Justin Hunter was taken with the second pick of the second round by the Titans that year. So, look, you could have made arguments for any of those guys. We already talked about the cornerbacks and all like that. But look, Eric Reed, the guy at the safety out of LSU. You know, would that have prevented you from having to go out and sign Mike Mitchell?
Probably.
So
probably.
You know, maybe that's the best. Maybe that's the best example to use in the what if category. What if the Steelers had drafted Eric Reed out of LSU instead of Jarvis Jones out of Georgia? But once again, you'd be paying Eric Reed right now too, right? I mean, you got to remember those guys that were taken in 2013 in that first round, you had to pick up their fifth year options on him last year. So he would be in his fifth year right now, and then you'd be looking forward to giving him a big deal right now. So what if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle, right?
Right. The other one when I was doing this yesterday, I was running through and I was listing all these names like you just did. On the bad picks, you know, you have to also say who was available. You know, around Ziggy Hood, there weren't any interesting guys. And I'm trying – D'Angelo – oh, it was when the Steelers took – how about this? How about – here's a fact for you. Steelers took Santonio Holmes. Obviously, it worked out great. You know, it didn't end well, but it worked out great. He had four very productive seasons with the Steelers and Super Bowl MVP, so it's a winning draft pick. D'Angelo Williams was taken two picks after Santonio Holmes.
And it's strange how some of those things, you know, it's always important too to kind of look at these pre-draft visits every year down the road. You know, when these guys become,
yeah, you got to file on them.
You know, you got to file on them. The Steelers have shown that, you know, they like the player then, and if you know they more than likely will like them later, you know, should something end up happening there. So most definitely that's a fun fact.
All right. So we'll have a fiesta tomorrow with three draft picks to talk about, with obviously looking around the league, what's happened through three rounds. I mean, you know, we'll try to keep it to 90 minutes if we can tomorrow morning, but
and, you
yeah,
know, you
it,
had,
it should
you
be
had,
good.
you asked if I thought they're going to take an offensive player. Well, you know, do we really expect them to their first four picks to be defensive players? And the answer,
and
the answer to that's no. I mean, you know, so yeah, I think we are talking about one offensive player. But once again, I'll tell you, I'll be surprised if we're talking about a running back. And
I'll be begging like you will that we're not talking about a quarterback. You know, I think I'll flip the coin on one running back or receiver. I don't think it'll be a tight end. I think we'll be talking about one defensive back. I think maybe the most interesting thing in this conversation will be what the other defensive player is. Did the Steelers double down at edge? Did they double down at defensive back? Or, you know, is it a D lineman? I mean, you know, we're, even in the broadest sense, that extra pick really makes things interesting. It really makes the Steelers draft so much more interesting that compensatory pick that they thought might be sixth or seventh round is a third round, because you're going to get a good football player here that, you know, has a chance to be very impactful right away.
Most definitely. And I hope they do double dip at the edge position later on. Maybe that Samson kid, you know, later on, you know, they brought him in for a pre-draft visit there. So
kid from Eastern Washington.
Yeah.
Where is he going to go roughly? Is he a fifth round guy, fourth, fifth round guy, or is he higher than that?
Oh man. He's definitely a day three guy. I tend to lean towards a sixth or seventh round guy. Who knows? You know, sometimes you look at these guys, you know, with the eye-popping spark scores, and a few of them still go undrafted, you know, because they're not high up, you know, on the list there. You know, Keon Adams out of Western Michigan is another guy that they showed, I think the Steelers showed interest in, and he's a decent product. Kenyatta Davis out of UT Chattanooga could be potentially maybe, you know, another guy that they look to. But I really like late, you know, if you're going to add another edge late, Samson Ebukam out of Eastern Washington, 4.45 40 time, 6 foot. Here's the thing that's going to keep him from going fifth round, in my opinion, is that length. He's 6'1" 3/8", you know, and a lot of people tend to gravitate a little bit towards those longer guys. Javon C. Jones, kind of the same thing. The thing with Javon C. Jones, though, out of Jackson State is he an edge guy, or can he move inside, or does it matter? Is he just that great of a football player that you draft him and you find out where he belongs, you know, kind of situation. But I am hoping for a day three double dip at the edge position. And let me ask you this: will this team at all address the inside linebacker position at all? And that at all could include Javon C. Jones. Okay,
you know, I think we'll see two more linebackers taken. So I think one of them will be able to play inside.
I concur. I think, you know, I think you could see two more quote unquote linebackers taken. One play on the edge and one play inside. At least that's what I'm hoping for. And we'll see. But okay, no linebackers today though, right?
No, I will not rule it out. No, I'm willing to, you know, like I said, one DB.
Yes or no? Don't hedge on me.
Say yes. Well, I think there'll be two DBs today, but I won't be surprised if it's a DB and a linebacker, put it that way. If I had to bet, I'd bet two DBs.
Well, that's the same damn thing I said. I won't be surprised if it was a wide receiver. I got nailed.
You said there's a chance. You said there's a chance. All right, so I'll say two DBs.
Okay.
I'm on record. Two DBs today.
But no linebacker.
Yeah, two DBs and an offensive player. I'll go 60-40 running back, wide receiver.
Okay. All right. Do we get a lot of entries into the contest?
I don't think we got as many as I hoped. And the thing is, then I said, I think everybody who did it probably should have made it this year, because this was the easy year. You know, Evan Ingram, Adoree Jackson, you know, a couple guys, you know, are there. But everybody who went in the first round was discussed as a potential first. Some guys didn't go, like Lamp didn't go. Dalvin Cook didn't go. So there are always going to be guys who don't go. But, you know, you just had to – look, it's never easy to do it in 40, but I thought most people would get it. And unfortunately, I got so jammed up yesterday, I didn't write it down. I'd like to think I would have gotten it. I'm not 100% sure I would have had Ingram on the list.
This just coming across Twitter on Reuben Foster, David, out of USA Today. Pelissori. Teams believe Foster will require a second surgery to repair a torn rotator cuff. So, you know, kind of tack on to those fears from yesterday of why he slid. And, you know, that could be a good reason why the Steelers didn't want their first round pick to be a guy that might, well, let's face it, might miss his rookie season, right?
Was it Shaq Lawson last year? Exactly the same thing with Buffalo. They took him, tried to rehab him, and then he had the surgery. So, you know, look, for San Francisco, is that going to be the difference between being in the playoffs or not? No. They get a really good football player. Yeah. So, you know, probably worth it for them to you know, that's the type of team that can absolutely take those risks. So, you know, yeah, interesting to hear the answer.
Did you see that old tweet Mitchell Trubisky had up?
I did. And I started to do the math on how many days is that? It had to be like 14.
You got to clean up that. Do you want to say it? Or?
No, I don't.
Okay. People, it shouldn't be hard to find, people. And if you follow my Twitter feed, I already retweeted it last night. That was what was it, 2011, right?
It was like 1,900 days ago, so that's like 6 years ago, yeah. So it's just Mitchell Trubisky and kissing.
Oh, Lord.
Like 15.
you kiss your mama with that mouth?
With fingers.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Well, what a note to kind of end on there. That cracked me up when I was, look, these athletes, you got to hire somebody to clean out your Twitter feed, for God's sakes, before all this happens. Or just, you know, delete your old account and do over or something like that.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, folks, tons and tons of content coming up on Steelers Depot. For the rest of this weekend, obviously, a lot of it's up there today going up. Obviously, we'll be covering the T.J. Watt press conference a little bit later on today as well. You can listen to David. What time are you going to be on, David, today?
Yeah, 4 to 7 today, and then I'll be on. I'll be picking up the draft coverage at 9 o'clock, hopefully right about when the Steelers are making their round 2 pick.
And I think I figured out this whole mixing thing. I got a new plug-in, David, so hopefully our audio levels will be
right. And that's mixing as not Joe Mixon. That's Mixon.
Yeah.
That's a different Mixon. Mixon of sound.
Yeah, that's a Southern. And hey, I might live in Las Vegas, Nevada, but you can still tell I'm a stupid old country boy, that's for sure. Okay, folks, follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If we entertain you, amuse you like clowns, and you want to donate to the cause, you can go to SteelersDepot.com, find that donate button, upper right navigational bar. We appreciate everybody supporting the show. Listenership during this offseason has just been incredible. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. I'm going to start, I think, putting these episodes up on YouTube as well, too, to help some of you out who maybe not have smartphones or what have you. But anyway, David, that's all I got. This 30-minute show turned into an hour and 10 minutes.
As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.